the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.
Hey there, I'm Brant. Producer Sherry's here too. If you want to connect on Twitter, I'd be happy to follow you. Just let me know and then you'll have one more follower. I'm at Brant Hanson on Twitter. And yeah, I don't want to make a big deal out of it, but I do have a blue check mark.
Yes, you do. And people were celebrating on Twitter.
You know,
there was merriment and mirth everywhere.
I suppose. I mean, is it a big deal? Yeah, I guess so.
I don't make a big deal about it, but it's there.
I'm just kindly asking that you go back through my timeline of all the things I've tweeted and now accord them more respect.
Okay. Like them again and again
because the lens of
the blue check mark.
Right. Because before I didn't have it. People were like, yeah, that's not a good tweet. But now look at it again through that prism, if you would. Anyway, it's at Brant Hanson on Twitter. Heard a guy on the radio yesterday. It was talk radio. He was talking about attacks that happened, terrorist attacks and whatnot. And he was talking about how there are evil people in the world and then there are the good people. And the good people can't even imagine doing something bad. And then there's these bad people that do unspeakable things. I'm like, that sounds right, but Jesus disagrees. He didn't let us do that. He didn't let us get away with it. There's nobody who's good. He says that point blank. Nobody's good except the Father. Like, he's up here. You guys are all down here.
And when he says there's none good, he repeats and says, no, not one, as if someone would be like, well, what about?
Right.
No,
that's exactly,
not one.
Exactly right. And they've done tons of social psychology experiments, just one after the other, that shows under the right circumstances, quote unquote, good people are liable to do just about anything. And they've done so many different experiments, so many different ways. And it's just a matter of where are you in history? Who are the people around you? This shouldn't scare us as much as just tell us what we are capable of ourselves and humble us so that we're able to go, there is evil, there is good, but that doesn't mean that I'm all good and that person's all evil. That's not the way it works at all. I want to get your opinion on something from the National Football League. They have, I want to see what you think, Sherry. They have relaxed their rules on celebrations.
Oh, I saw that.
What do you think?
I think, let people enjoy themselves. Why
okay,
not?
That's interesting because that's not what you said like a few weeks ago when I dominated at board games.
When this is what you're
and
doing?
And then I did celebratory dances.
Yes,
oh, this
did.
Isn't appropriate.
Well,
don't,
because
my nieces, and
you
then,
had beat my niece
like
in
a drum.
A board game.
And, yeah, and then it
she's
was like,
10,
no, we
Brant.
Don't need celebrating. That's what she said, but now, interesting, flips over. So it turns out if you're good looking and you're a scientist, like you work in a lab or something, people will downgrade their estimation of your work because you're good looking.
That's interesting.
So sad to see what good looking people have to put up with.
Such discrimination.
But here's my thing. I take out whether or not I'm good looking, bad looking, in between, doesn't matter. I'm on the radio. Who cares? But here's the thing. I would resent that. Like if somebody's like, hey, I'm going to downgrade the job that you do on the radio because of your looks.
Okay.
So I just think that's like, I want to be downgraded
because
my work is truly terrible. I want that to be the basis for why you say.
Yes, mediocre content is why we want to be judged.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lack of excellence, lack of making sense, that sort of stuff, monotone voice, fine. Not based on my looks.
Don't cross the line,
right.
People.
Thanks. We were talking about how they do, you know, social experiments and stuff. So interesting to me because it tells us about ourselves when they do these experiments. But this has been replicated a million different ways. They found that we'll form groups at the drop of a hat and then presume our group is better than the other groups.
Mm-hmm.
Over nothing. They did this experiment with 14 to 15-year-old kids back in the day. I mean, it'll give you an idea. Like, hey, which painting do you like? Because similar paintings. Pick one. Which one do you like best? And they would pick one, and then they put them in a room by themselves, like individually. And then they would say, hey, we've got some money to distribute. And all they would do is have codes of people. Like, they would make a code for each person so they couldn't know the identity and note which painting they liked.
Okay.
And people would distribute the money almost exclusively to people that were on their painting team. Even though they didn't know who they were.
It's human nature.
Yeah, but they've done this. Exactly. It's human nature. And it's self-righteousness. See, what we do... See how we do that? My squad's always the better squad. You're worse. I'll look at me through this lens. I'll look at you through that one, and I'll find a way to do it. no matter what. And that's just another place where the Bible is so countercultural, so shockingly countercultural. Paul writes, he says, consider others better than yourselves. Think about that. So it's not like you love your Christian brothers and sisters, so you could be like, we're the superior group. No, you're not. You don't get away with that. Like, yeah, you do have a family. It's your community of believers, right, if you're a follower of Jesus, but it'll make you better than anybody. Consider others better than yourselves. Greetings. I like to study normal people. Normal people, neurotypicals, we call you. Neurotypicals are...
You don't see yourself as normal?
No.
Okay.
Those of us who are on the autism spectrum refer to you as neurotypicals, normal people. And I just saw an article about what normal people do when you feel down, according to a social scientist named Karen Pine, professor. She's a professor.
Okay.
And she says that you will wear certain things when you're feeling down.
Okay.
And Karen Pine says, your jeans. And it's interesting, you're wearing jeans today. So
I am.
As a normal person, what's the matter?
Nothing. I'm fine.
Not according to
Karen
this
Pine.
Professor.
Okay.
She feels that you... It says here that you're feeling depressed. And that's what. And then if you are feeling happy, you'll wear a hat. You're not wearing a hat.
I'm not wearing a hat.
You'll wear really nice jewelry.
So do you feel like there may be any wiggle room in Karen Pine's research?
I'm looking at it.
No, it doesn't get me.
Karen Pine says that you will wear jeans when you're feeling down and you're not wearing the hat.
Yeah,
so.
I feel okay though, Brant.
How can we help? Karen Pine says you don't feel good. The following thing is going to sound silly. I know it. I'm just saying this in advance, but I prayed for a bird. I know.
Okay.
I prayed.
Go ahead.
I'm an adult male and I prayed for a bird.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you why. I know it's going to sound silly, but we've had a problem in our house and we've been taken over by bird mites. And it's really weird. You can look up on the internet. It happened very often, but we have this really tall, old row home.
Mm-hmm.
It's really old and really tall. So there were nests up there. And anyway, they get in the wall with a nest. They're little baby birds. I know you hate birds. Sherry hates birds.
Sorry.
I know this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something here about God in here. And anyway, we had to get rid of the birds. And there are nests with the little ones in there. And there's no way you can move a nest. You can't do that. The moms won't come back anyway. And then the little ones. So they get rid of them humanely. But it's either that or we can't be in our house. Like, we would lose the house. They had to be gone. Long story short, they go up there and then they take the nests out,
mm-hmm.
and they cover over the holes where the mama bird was able to get in. Well, we're looking up there and we see with the work that they did, they covered up these holes way up there. And then I see a starling alight on a little ledge right where the hole was. And it's clearly the mama bird.
Oh.
And now it's the holes covered and her babies are gone and she can't even get inside. And I know it sounds silly, and I'm a grown adult man. I got it. But it was kind of heartbreaking. I was just watching it look back in and look back out, and it's this mother bird. And I asked God to have mercy on this bird. And when I thought that was silly, I did remember Jesus talking about how God even sees a sparrow that falls. And it matters. And so many people are like, well, details. Why does God care about my life, my little... Well, he sees a bird that falls. I do think he cares. I didn't know what else to do. It wasn't just a guilt thing. I understood why we had to do it. But on the other hand, when I see that happen, like, it's amazing to me that the creator of the universe cares about a bird like that. Okay, I feel like I should talk about something really awesome here. Hey, hang on. Here we go. Some cool music.
Why? You feel bad because you got emotional there?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Got a little bird.
I feel like
I should talk about my bench press now. Reassure people.
It's all right to cry and blubber, which you basically
not really
did.
Crying.
Well,
no, not really blubbering.
You kind of falling to pieces
really.
Right here in front of us on the radio.
No, no.
And that's okay.
Anyway, I can bench like 290, probably 300.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good for a guy.
That
for a
is
nerd.
Good.
For a nerd.
That is.
Yeah.
But then to turn around and completely get emotional over a little bird.
Been doing squats lately, too, and building up.
To to watch him on the bird.
It's hard to work your quads.
And let tears fill your eyes.
Very hard. And also I've ridden motorcycles.
It's hard to reconcile the two, but I think.
You didn't know that. I like
it's okay.
Grilling out with the fellas and all that sort of stuff.
Hey, you should know something. Especially if you're new to the show, people have been listening for a while already know this. We really welcome you if you're a misfit, like spiritually. You just don't fit in very easily. You feel like everybody else is having an experience. You're not. Or you hear about people being perfect Christians or something, and you just don't quite get it like that. Maybe you're introverted or just struggle spiritually and not emotional or analytical. Anyway, all that to say, I struggle too. And one thing I really struggle with is praying. I'm doing better with this. I mean, you know what's helping me? You know what's helping me?
Hardship?
No. Well, that helped too. There's something else now.
Okay.
I don't want to be that guy on the radio who talks about spiritual stuff and doesn't pray.
Yeah.
Kind of makes me sick.
Yeah.
Because it means I'm going through, like, I'm talking to you about God because I'm on this Christian radio station, but I'm not actually talking to him. Something seems really discordant about that, like not just off. And having been raised around a lot of religious stuff that turns out it was off, like there was stuff that wasn't right, I don't want to be that guy. So I'm actually doing better because I kind of hit a point of disgust with myself. Like, you know what? You can't be that guy in Christian media that's like Christian stuff, God stuff. And then behind the scenes, I'm not talking to him.
It is a great question you might ask yourself. Why would God use me? I mean, I get why he would use somebody who's a big athlete or big star, some kind of celebrity, somebody who's a PhD or some big, you know, celebrity preacher or something. But why me? I'll tell you why. And I learned this today, relearned it, from the world's leading atheist, Richard Dawkins. They did an interview with him, extremely outspoken. He said he doesn't buy, it's clear, he doesn't buy into the idea that there is a God, he says, because he's not going to embrace, quoting here, a God of Bronze Age camel herders from the Middle East. It's so preposterous that God would choose them. And you see this over and over in the Bible, that God, it's just so preposterous. Why would God use a backwater people that had no purchase, no status, no power? But see, God does it over and over. And why would he be from Galilee, they said? Like, why? Come on. That's like Redneckville. They're not going to use somebody from there. And yet he does. He deliberately chooses the unlikely over and over and over. This is not a subtle theme. Even Richard Dawkins picked up on it. I just can't buy it. Surely he'd use a king. He'd be born in a palace, right? No, a barn. How about that? You think he can't use you? He doesn't want to? Like, he's waiting to. Look, I'm a guy. I don't understand this stuff, all right? Interior decorating. I don't get it. But I can see, whoa, that looks pretty good. So it's not like I know what went into it. I don't know what that thing is or what that thing is. What do you even call that thing? But when you arrange it, it's just so, it feels like home. Looks really good. Inviting. Want to sit in there. It's funny because there are these experts. Maybe you've seen these people. They'll come into your house, take your existing stuff, rearrange it and leave. And you pay them to do it, which to me sounds like a real racket. But on the other hand, when you see what they do, it's like, wow. You took the stuff I already bought, and it may not be what a decorator would have bought if they had an ultimate, you know, budget. So you took my rickety old lamp, my dusty old that thing, my faded this, that old rug. You went in my garage and found that, and now it looks great. This is beautiful. I could welcome people into this room. Maybe you see where I'm going with this.
I see where you're going.
Do you
with
see
this.
Where I'm going? Because you know how I think.
I see. And it's a good place that you're going,
a very good
place.
Where am I going?
You are saying God can take whatever we got in our lives and rearrange it and make it welcoming.
Totally. And the reason I want to say that is because, sure, there's some of us who think we have it all together, but there are the rest of us who know, no, my spiritual house is full of dusty, ratty stuff. I don't have it together. And here's the artist. This is artistry. That's just it. It's artistry. You can take anything and make it into a masterpiece. That's what he does.
So we're cooking up some stuff, some cool stuff for you in the Brant Hansen Show Labs. And by the way, Tracy, are you familiar with the idea, the concept of listener uniforms?
The concept of what?
Listener uniforms. I was going to send out uniforms to listeners that they have to wear.
Yes, I would totally do that.
Okay, thank you.
That's nice.
People are getting a little frustrated because I've been talking about doing this, and they're like, well, where are they?
Yeah, it's been a while, and it's been no
Yeah, but I want to let you know what's happening.
Okay.
We're working on a little concept called exoskeletons.
What?
Yeah. They're using these.
Jeez.
Excuse me, they're using these at now like a Lowe's. They're trying these out with the warehouse employees, and it makes you super strong, and it gives you like
okay.
There's a mechanical exoskeleton that you'll be able to do superhuman feats with to move things. Will you be up for that?
I don't know. That's kind of like iRobot out there.
Yes.
That's kind of weird.
It is a little.
It is. All the features are weird. He has biometric stuff so he can check on us.
The point is, I'll be able to, if I need you to go somewhere, I'll just make you do it. Like, I'll make you run real fast to that because I'll be able to command your exoskeleton remotely.
Right. That's not creepy at all.
That's too weird.
Yeah. Thank you, Tracy. It's too weird.
But you do have qualms. That's what I'm hearing.
We all do.
Okay.
All right. Noted.
I mean, you're still going to get it and you'll have to do it, but,
right.
But I'll note that you have qualms here. Pretty cool.
That's kind of sketch there.
Yeah. So.
You think it's sketchy? Is that what you're saying?
I think that's it's kind of sketchy that you sort of want to mobilize this listener army.
Right, so don't
what exactly
me,
are your goals here?
Yeah, so don't trust me. That's basically what it is.
Yeah, that's really what
that's
it
really
is.
That's really what
actually,
it is, isn't it? I'm reading between the lines here. And what I hear is a lack of trust. Like, I don't have your best interests at heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I believe.
All right. Well, anyway.
I'm not trying to offend you or anything, Brandon.
No, hey.
I read a book on that.
No problem. That may be the first thing I have you do with your exoskeleton is show up and buy my next book. I'll make you go to Barnes & Noble. Why am I walking to... Oh,
really
I'm going
doing.
To Barnes & Noble.
That's what we like.
I wanted to go to Pier 1. Why am I going to Barnes & Noble?
Maybe you've thought about this. How much could they charge for coffee and still, like, people would still flock to the coffee shop, Starbucks or whatever.
Because of the caffeine dependency.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm wondering how elastic our demand is before I would go, you know what?
You guys have stepped
over the line. Joel, you got an idea on this? Because I was just thinking about this.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Just totally out of curiosity, if you're driving, there's only one coffee place in the next 2 hours, and you really need a coffee. You walk in.
Okay.
You walk in, it's $10 for a small. Do you pay it?
$10 for a small, and I had 2 hours without it, and I'm driving?
Yep.
Is it a Starbucks? Does it have to be Starbucks? It could be anything.
No, just something good, but it's a small, and it's $10.
Whatever. I'll do it.
Okay.
Coffee. I'll take it. $10.
All right. Good.
As long as there's cream and sugar, I'll take it.
Okay. $15.
Oh, you're killing me. No, I'll...
That extra $5 puts you right over the cliff.
And the Starbucks guy's going to be listening to this going, we could get away with that.
That's true. I should be very careful of what I'm willing to say. You know, I'll change my answer. No, $10, no.
You wouldn't.
Yeah.
You would not.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
See, we're drawing the line, Starbucks.
$5, no more.
And I want a dollar amount. Would it have to be on the sign when you get inside? Before you go, no.
Just for black coffee?
Just for a coffee, yeah. Like a small coffee here costs $12. Would you be like, no way?
Yes, 12, absolutely not.
Okay, what if it's like 8?
What are my chances of getting it anywhere else?
No, none. Not for like another couple hours.
I'd pay $8.
Pay $8.
$8, okay.
Yes, but that's when they've got the corner of the market, if that's my only chance for it. Yeah.
Good to know.
What about you, Brant? You're addicted.
I'd say $10.
$10. Wow.
Honestly, and I would hate it, mm-hmm. and I'd really struggle with anger, but and forgiveness.
I bet you could go above 10. I bet you if we were about to do a live show.
Oh, that would be $50.
Okay, that's what.
Yeah. Yeah.
The amount of caffeine it takes to pull this show off, Diana, between the two of us.
Wow,
that's a lot.
It's getting kind of ridiculous talking about just little things that are adding up for me, little hardships. And
why are you laughing? It's reached that point.
Reached
I think we've
point.
All been it's at like, that point that? Where it's like, okay, yeah. Now this is just funny. It's like a play almost, a comedy of errors.
Yeah. And we were talking to friends about this today. But if you've got a
family member who's seriously ill, mm-hmm. it trumps all the stuff I've been going through.
Yes, yes.
You know, so it's that. It's just everything but that.
Little things.
Little things. And does that mean that I'm doing something wrong? Because some people feel that way. Like, mm-hmm. it's God saying, hey, you need to stop this or start that, or you're doing something. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think it means I've made the wrong decisions or moved to the wrong place or I took the wrong job or I do, you know, all that stuff.
If that were the case, the Bible wouldn't have said endure hardship like a good soldier.
Right.
Yeah. And it's life.
Jesus said, in this life you will have troubles. And it's weird because you've done this. I'm sure I've done this. We look at troubles and go, oh, okay, well, I must have been a... That's not how it works. And the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. It doesn't make me just, but it does mean you can't just interpret it that way. And also, I've seen where God's used stuff in people's lives, and looking back, you're like, huh, I actually needed that to happen. I can't believe it. It's really true. We do this, and it's so natural that we don't even question it. We look and go, okay, if bad things are happening to me, it must be because I did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If good things are happening, it's because I did something right.
Right.
That's the idea of kind of becoming karma, for instance, but... The Bible actually undercuts that all over the place. Yeah. Like, there are bad things that happen to people that are doing fine. It doesn't work like that. There's a whole book called Job, and it's very important that we point out that guy was good as they come. A good citizen, good guy, all that sort of stuff.
Good father, good family man.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, as far as that goes. And then he's the one that goes through all sorts of trials, and he never even knows the backstory. So think about that with your own stuff that you go through that are really difficult. You're like, why? How can there be a God if he puts me through this or whatever? Like, Job never knows the backstory in that story. But there is one. He just doesn't know what it is. And then he questions God very directly. God tells him off very directly. Mm-hmm. And then God rewards him. Big time at the end. I think it's really interesting. A lot of times people leave it with the conflict, but there's a reward at the end. Like, this story is telling us, don't question God, like, how dare you do this to me? Because you're not him. You don't have all the answers. And lastly, he's going to set things all right in the end. That's pretty clear.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.